Some people just don't feel like maybe I should stay away. But praise the Lord, you're here. Amen.
Amen.
That's good. It's good to have the teens in here with us this morning, which I'm glad, because this particular subject, I think it'll be good for you because we all are servants of who? Of Jesus, right? And we have a task at hand, and that task at hand is to serve Him, serve our church, serve our community, serve the places where we work, because even the places at work, we have to have what? What are we looking for when we're at work and we're serving God and we're doing the right thing? What is that? It's good testimony, right? Amen. So this study, I pulled this out of my library, per se. And this study, I can't believe how time flies. This particular study that we're doing, it was a 13-week study, us being salt and light in the world that we live in. I did this back in 2020. Man, that was like 3 years ago. It was in like the middle, at the same time, 3 years ago. And again, I definitely wanted to cover this because I thought this is fitting, especially for this particular month, because we've got a lot going on this month, right? We have, of course, our evangelist meeting, you know, coming up here. That's already next week, I believe, right? Yeah, and then the week after that, we're going to get right into the fair booth and just a good time for us to ensure that we know our place, and that place is to serve Him and be there willing to serve Him. Amen? So this particular verse during this study was Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be what? Cannot be hid. It cannot be hid. Black and white in God's scripture, it cannot be hid. So we have to be that light. So the next slide, I thought that was kind of cool and fitting too. Like this little cartoon, it says here, take this at least once a day or even more often. You can't overdose. And of course, you have the Bible inside the prescription bottle, amen. You can't overdose. You can't overdose on God's word, amen. The more you get, the better you'll be. And I lack opportunity with that. You know, sometimes we go about the motions of our day and read scripture and kind of check the box off, and we just go about what we got to do. But if you go back to it or dwell on it, the Lord can bless. I was just reading Proverbs. I should turn there real quick. Proverbs chapter 1. Wrong way. This verse spoke to me, and I've read it millions of times. And it's in verse 3 of Proverbs chapter 1, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, being fair. I thought, and that verse just stuck with me. It's like, how many times have I read something? And most of you are the same way, right? You read something, and you've read it over and over and over again throughout the period of your life as a Christian, and then certain things just pop, right? And praise the Lord for that, because He's always giving something new to us every single time we read God's Word. And man, this particular week has been tough. And man, the world needs Jesus. Emotionally for me, I guess you would say, I've got folks trying to commit to Jesus, and we've got to do everything we can to be servants for Him. So in turn, He can use us with the help of the Holy Spirit and show them Jesus. Amen. And whatever you do in life, whatever what you're going to even do this week, show them Jesus. Because the hope is only in Him. And we need Him. Even us, right? So this particular lesson is the servant of Christ. So the next slide I'll just share with you. And turning your Bibles here to 1 Samuel. But we'll look at chapter 12, verse specifically 26. But the three things that I want you to get out of this particular lesson, and who remembers actually doing salt and light? Raise your hand if you were here. A few of us? Yeah, a few. Okay, amen. And do you guys remember this lesson?
People were like, yeah, no.
The relation between inward qualities of a servant that produce outward actions of service. So today we'll look at three qualities for inward and three qualities outward that will show us how we need to be servants of Christ. Number two is determined to serve the Lord wholeheartedly and enthusiastically. Oh, did I say that right? That's good. Amen. So, yeah, enthusiastically. I'm not going to say it again. Amen. But we have to serve God enthusiastically with a smile on our face, because guess what we do when we die? We get to go to heaven. Amen? And man, I know this life's going to be rough. I know there's going to be obstacles. I know things are going to kind of serve you. Even if you're going through a difficult time, God will be there for you if you ask for His help. Amen? So be enthusiastic about serving Him. Amen. Number three is wholly offer ourselves as obedient, diligent, faithful servants of the Lord, right? Okay? Amen. So, in your Bibles, verse number, what did I say, 24? Okay, 24. This particular passage of Scripture is saying, asking Israel to serve God, right? And look at verse 24. For only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things He hath done for you. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Father, again, I thank you so much for the opportunity to, just to bring a lesson to the folks this morning. Thank you so much for those that have come out. Pray that you bless them in a mighty way. Be with those that are out sick. Pray that you get them recovered quick. And Lord, again, thank you for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So just a few things that we'll look at is, like I said, we'll look at some inward qualities of a servant and then outward qualities or actions of a servant as well. And who can tell me a biblical synonym for the word servant? Anybody? A minister, right? We're to minister, we're to serve others. So in Mark chapter 10, verse 48, it says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many." And praise the Lord for His willingness to come and serve us and to die on the cross. Amen. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior this morning, your life for the better forever. Amen. Number one. So we'll go through the slides. If you would like to take notes, you can. I kind of, as you know, I've done these several of these studies. We do it in outline form. So number one is the inward qualities of a servant of the Lord. And letter A is wholeheartedly service, a wholehearted service for Him. Our key verse, of course, is in 1 Samuel. But again, what are some examples in God's Word of someone who wholeheartedly has served Him? Not everybody at the same time. Just a class, you know, so. Okay, Billy Graham, okay. Anybody else? Paul, right? Big example in God's Word. King David, yeah, we'll look at him today. Do what? Spurgeon, okay, yes, right, yeah. Andrew. Who is it?
Andrew.
Oh, Andrew, yeah, totally, yes. I mean, we can countly just give several qualities or several examples in God's Word, but two things that speak to me is we need to serve Him in truth, right, and serve Him with our entire heart, right? And Joshua, I'll just read you Joshua chapter 2, verse 5, in the very last part of that particular verse, it says, to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. And that is in Joshua chapter 22, verse 5. To serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. Now, is that hard to do? Yes, it is hard to do. No matter where you stand, as far as how long you've been a Christian, it's hard to do. It's hard to serve the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul. But you can ask Him for help, and what will He do? He will give you that help, right? Amen. So in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9, and of course here is David charging his son Solomon to basically serve Him with a perfect heart. He's telling Solomon, serve Him with a perfect heart. A perfect heart basically refers to an undivided, unwavering, committed heart. Man, that's, you think, well, that's a lot to put on myself. To have a committed or a perfect heart is undivided, unwavering, and committed. Unwavering, that's just a lot to put on yourself, right? But again, with God's help, we can get through it. A wholehearted servant is someone who is loyal, right? So like the brother said back in the back, Paul is a good example of someone who is loyal. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew. This is a great verse. Matthew chapter 24. Chapter 6. Matthew 6. Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon, right? So there's some examples of basically where are you going to be? Are you going to serve God or are you going to serve mammon, right? And again, like brother said, Paul is a good example. And here's a few examples of someone who is not loyal. And of course, there's several examples in God's word. But first, I would think of Absalom, right, who rebelled against his father David. And we studied that when we did the study of David, right, and just how Absalom and how he just tried to do this and take the throne from David. Number two, of course, is probably a well-known one, is Judas Iscariot, right, who tried to, he betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And there's countless people of being loyal, too. You think of Daniel, who was loyal in his task. And what ended up happening with Daniel? What happened? What?
Promotion.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You also have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, man, who refused to, pretty much surrender or bow to the idol. But guess what? They were, man, can you imagine being in a fiery furnace and then being not, man, wow, it's amazing. Lord's good. A wholehearted servant of the Lord is loyal to Him. Are we loyal to our Lord Jesus Christ? Even when demonstrating the loyalty when it's costly, right? Are you willing to be loyal when it's going to cost you? Are you willing to be loyal when it comes to the fare booth and you have somebody approaching you is completely just knocking you down, but you know what I mean, and really going at you because you believe something that's just, you know, whatever. I mean, are you still willing to serve Him and be loyal to Him, even though in heart of in issues of like that? I mean, God's good. It's okay. They just don't know. They're blind. So letter A would be wholehearted service. Number B is loving. Loving. I like Galatians 5:13. It says, by love, serve one another. Are you willing, especially in our congregation, I know we are you willing to serve someone else through love, right? And be there for each other in difficult times. Be there for someone who's going through, you know, a medical thing or going through something financially or just having a difficult, you know, rough go in life. Are you willing to serve that person through love? Because Christ loved us, right? Amen. And number C is humble. Man, humble. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Let us have grace whereby we have served God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. We need to serve God with reverence and with our eyes on Him rather than on ourselves. You know, they asked me to teach Sunday school today. So I've stepped up to the plate, and I'm going to show them how it's done, right? Because, you know, I've done it for so long, and, you know, I got this. No. Do what? Yeah, they're right. It ain't over yet. You're not done yet, brother. Oh, man, exactly. But we need to approach things humbly, right? We need to be humble because without Him, we can't even do what we're doing right now. Right, we need Him to help us through life and through different things, that help us through work, help us through whatever we're doing right now. We need to be humble and realize we're only doing this because of Him. We woke up this morning, He gave us breath. You know, He gave us another day to serve Him. What are you going to do about it today? How are you going to serve Him today? Jesus illustrated a great example, and that is in John chapter 13. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When Jesus Himself humbled Himself to do something. What was that? Do what?
Wash their feet.
Wash their feet, right? To wash the feet's disciple, to wash his disciples' feet. Amen. I mean, here you have, you know, God Almighty, Jesus, who willing to humble Himself and wash His disciples' feet. And feet back then, a little dirty. Sandals and hot and sweaty. You know, that you didn't have a mask to put on for the sake of, you know, right? No, none of that. So, amen. But He humbled Himself, right? Write this down if you want to. A humble servant is a grateful servant. A humble servant is a grateful servant. Attitude of gratitude. Yes. If you are willing to be a servant and humble yourself, be grateful that gratefulness will show to others that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Amen? 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. In everything. No matter what you're going through in life. No matter what issues you're rolling up against, whatever things, give thanks. Because He might be putting you through that for a particular reason for you to grow. And you're thinking, well, my hands are up. I don't know what I'm going to do. I give thanks. Thank you, Lord, for putting me through this because I know I will learn something from it. Right? Letter D. I've done that all the time. Every time I've done this, I've always done that. Letter D. I'm just throwing you guys off. Make sure you're awake. Right? So letter D. Did I have that up there, brother? The joyful? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, letter D is joyful. Okay. So a couple things. The Bible has much to say about having joy in the believer, right? First of all is the joy of the birth of Christ in Luke. Joy of the Word of God. We have God's Word here, the good old King James Bible in 1 Thessalonians 1:6. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the Word in much affliction and with joy of the Holy Ghost. Joy of the Word of God. And number three, joy in God's presence. Psalms chapter 16, verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life, in the presence His fullness of joy, and thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Amen. Count your blessings. Do you guys count your blessings when things are just going great? No, I'm serious. Do you? Okay. Well, I try to do better. Because when things are going not so great, do you count your blessings? You do, right? Because you're like, oh, praise the Lord, this didn't happen to me. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, count your blessings. I mean, Brother Hank's great at saying that. He says, always be thankful for what didn't happen, right? And that will always kind of be with us, you know. I know we miss them greatly. But, it's like, count your blessings when things are going well. Count your blessings. The air conditioner's working. The heater's working. The hot water heater's working. The cars are running. You know, praise the Lord. Three new tires. Or, well, you know, four. But, yeah, you know what I mean. Praise the Lord for that. So when things are coming around difficult in your life, God knows I'll help them out. He praises me all the time, even when things are going good, right? Turn to Psalms. And this is Psalms 100, the verses of Scripture that we'll be reading. Brother Jordan will bring in the message this morning. But look at Psalm. You guys. Okay. Make presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that enter into the gates with thanksgiving and give unto His courts with praise. Be thankful. His mercy bless His name. For the Lord is good, endureth to all generations forever. Amen. And good and the bad. And when things be joyful in that, the Lord will take care of you, knowing that the Lord understands what you're going through. Others may not, but just have a joyful heart, knowing the qualities of a servant. And I think letter A is obedient in this. I am actually really taking hold of my inward things that I need to work on. Now, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the servant is supposed to obey an unkind master as well as a kind master.
Oh, I got one.
Right. But what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to show them that we're currently working for because they're horrible, but that's okay. They might need Christ. But, you know, get to the point where you're able to share the gospel with that person. Why are you so different? Why are you the only one not complaining? Titus 2:9, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters. In other words, them well in all things, not answering again, without putting up any argument, right? I'll give you some examples. I have a few team members on my team that are always willing to do what I ask without hesitation. Feels amazing. It's great. Others sometimes give me a few excuses. I'm like, no, I need you to do this. Well, no, do this. Same goes for our kids, right? A kid who is obedient and will not ask questions the why, but just do it, feels good, right? A kid that asks questions or kind of hesitates. Morgan still lives at home, so you're not excluded yet. After November, Chris, she's all yours. I don't know what you're going to do. So, yeah. Anyways, but it feels good when we are servants, when our masters asked us to do something, do it, right? You know, pastor asked me to teach Sunday school this morning. Without hesitation, I shouldn't even give, I don't even hesitate. Say, yes, I'll step in and help. How well does that make him feel knowing that things are taken care of, right, Brother Jordan? Knowing that we can just handle it. We got this. Get better. Relax. Watch us online. We'll wave at you, Pastor. So, anyways, enthusiastic obedience transforms us. Enthusiasm makes a difference. Real enthusiasm comes from within. We can fake it till you make it kind of thing, right? But if your enthusiasm comes from within with the help of the Holy Spirit, that can change lives. And for the better, right? And I'm sure, you know, the whole tire thing, you use that to show that God's good and how God can answer prayer and how God can just work in somebody's life even though it's difficult at the time. And then others might see that and be like, wow, something's different there, right? Enthusiasm makes obedience much more effective. It sure does. Colossians 3, and I like verse 23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Right? Just want to please my boss and do what's right. Okay, well, that's good. But first and foremost, do it because the Lord wants you to do it. And through that, he will then help you through whatever else you got going on. But, do it not unto men, but unto the Lord. So true. Letter B is diligent in our duties, or his duties, but I changed it in here, our duties, right? We need to be hardworking, industrious, conscientious, and thorough, right? We should be. We have to be diligent in our duties. If we are someone who just kind of half does the job and the boss finds out that you half did the job, how is that going to affect your Christian testimony? Just saying. Never know. It can affect you in a very negative way, right? Because some people expect, oh, you're a Christian, so I expect you to be higher than anybody else or doing the right thing, right? But if you're slacking in your duties, that can be a big problem and affect you in a negative way, where it could affect also those around you and affect someone from maybe getting saved, right? Nehemiah is such a great example. I'm reading this book right now called Hand Me Another Brick, and it's Timely Lessons in Leadership. And in this book the entire book is surrounding the book of Nehemiah, or the man Nehemiah. And then it came up here, of course, in this particular lesson as well. Nehemiah was a great servant of God. But he had to do the dirty work first, right? I mean, he was a cupbearer first. What does a cupbearer do? Yeah, he could pass away, die, because maybe that wine or that drink could have been poisoned, right, before the king took it. He was a cupbearer, right? So he started, you know, of course, it's a high ranking, but he still had to do the dirty work, right? He was then the builder of the wall, and then he became what? He became a governor. And it's interesting how if you are diligent in your work, the Lord can bless you. The Lord can see where your faithfulness is and grow you in whatever job you're doing, right? For those that are retired, well, still be diligent in your duties for the church. Be diligent in your own growth in your life, right? Be diligent in every duty. Lord entrusts you to care for those in the workplace, at home, and in the ministry. Letter C, faithful in our responsibilities. Faithful in our responsibilities. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse faithful. Is it important to be faithful? Yes. Mary. Here are three things that if you'd like to write down, and they're not on the board there, but faithfulness is required, right? Faithfulness is reckoned, and faithfulness will be rewarded. How many of us have traveled on a train before? Okay. How about a plane? Okay. How about in a bus? How many times, who Are you relaxing in the bus? Are you relaxing in the plane? Some of you are like, no, I don't ever. Yeah. Oh, do you relax when you're traveling? You know, do you? There you go. Because you're completely trusting in who? You're trusting the conductor, aren't you? He's got this. It's fine. Then why in the world sometimes can we not trust our living God to trust us through life? I don't know. And that's that faithfulness part. But man, like how I saw that and I'm like, wow, I do. When I fly for work, I don't know. Yeah, the Lord's good. And I ask for protection, but I'm trusting the pilot. I've been on a train before, and you know, I trust the conductor, and I've been on a bus before and in Costa Rica, which is, can get kind of scary. But I trust the driver, right? You just go. You just do it by faith. You're just like, okay, it's good. We got this. Well, why can't we do the same in life? When things are not going so well, trying to be that servant you need to be, just rely on him. You need to be. Through faithfulness, he will serve. You can serve him. And to be that servant, you must have these qualities of wholeheartedness, humility, obedience, diligence, and faithfulness. Christ deserves our best and not just our leftovers. Right? Simple question. Are we the servants that our master deserves? I've got work to do. I mean, we're all striving for that, and hopefully you are striving for that, but I just pray that this particular month we're going to be busy and it's going to be good. And I just hope that, it all starts coming to, of course, the evangelist meeting here through the next step, which would also then be, of course, the fair booth. Because there will be, but if you ask the Lord and the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you and help you through that, he can. And just be all that you've done for me and for us. And Lord, you are good. And we also need the month of August will be a blessing for all of us, that we will come to the meetings every while, and it'll be a blessing there and be able to share the gospel with many, and to help us to be a witness to those that do not know you of the good news. And we again be with the next hour. Be with brother. Amen. You are dismissed. And also pray that you.